Thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for giving us eternal life. Thank you for giving us the privilege of being called your children. And we thank you for the privilege of being in this house. Lord, you have commanded us to assemble together. And for those who can tonight, that's what we're doing. And we appreciate what is going on here, what's going on in the teen ministry tonight and in the kids club. And ask, Father, that you be pleased to bless this evening. Lord, we'll thank you for it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think what we'll do tonight is just take a look at our prayer list first. And maybe in a few minutes take a look at the prayer letter as well. But just go ahead and give you some updates tonight. Of course, I know most of you have been up to the hospital to visit everybody. And so there's been some movement. Of course, Vern left the hospital about 2 hours ago and doing much, much better. So praise the Lord for that. And they seemed to find the answer to what was ailing him. So he looked much, much better than he did. So grateful for that. And then Caroline is also being transferred to Bridgeport Healthcare Center, and they'll begin therapy or rehabilitation on her. They have found over the last few days that she actually has a break below the kneecap, and not sure about the ligaments, whether that's actually an issue for her or not. It may not be, which would, I guess, be good news if it was not, because I think ligaments would take a lot longer to heal than the bones. So whatever, they said that she does need therapy because she hasn't walked for quite a while. So she'll be there for at least 2 weeks. So you can pray for her about that. But the other issues that she's been dealing with are clearing up. So that's a blessing. And then Dee Watson talked with her a while today. And she indicated she might be going back to Harmony this weekend. I don't know if that's actually the case or she's just kind of hoping they'll let her go back. But she's doing okay. Visited a man named Dave Griever. We've had him on the prayer list. This is one of the relatives of Kim Ferris. Her brother, actually, I believe it's her brother. And so he has cancer and saw him. And then I happened to run into Tom Marsh, and we talked for quite a while. Tom was really sick last week, and he still sounds sick. So he said he's no longer contagious, but he had a really bad case of bronchitis, and lungs were very infected. So he sounds almost hoarse from it. So he still needs prayer. So if you would keep praying for him. He's back to work, but he said he's weak. And then Melanie and her sons, Joseph and Aiden, are all sick. And I don't know what's really going on. I guess there's just some kind of virus that's been going around, and it apparently lasts for weeks and weeks and weeks. That's what I've been told. So thankfully, I've not had that yet, and I hope none of us get it. But if you do, I guess we won't see for several weeks, so whatever the case. But just at least folks in the hospital are starting to make improvement and starting to get out, and that's good news. So grateful to the Lord for that. This is the physical list tonight, and just most of these names have been on here for a good long while. So you're familiar with most of these as you pray for them. Anybody have any updates on any of these folks tonight? Amy?
Yeah, my cousin Jason is out second to the last of the Dirks. He can be removed. They actually removed the tumor. It was all contained.
Good.
Cancer had spread.
Praise the Lord.
So he's doing well. I saw him for my niece's graduation. He's looking good. So it's just amazing. God used a heart attack. He's only a year older than I am. He had a heart attack at 45, and in the course of checking him, they found this tumor on his kidney that had the cancer that they said would have spread and gone crazy had they, not looked at it. So God just used it, and he's doing very well. So we can remove him.
That's good. So in case you're at home and you have a prayer list, James Zaff, the next to the last. The tumor has been removed, no cancer. That's good news. My sister Jill, right above him, she is in the middle, right in the middle now of her radiation treatment. So she doesn't say a lot about it, and we just don't call her unless she's up to talking. So texted her the other day and she said, I'm doing well. So it's like, okay, I'll just take that as an answer. I don't believe you, but you say you're doing well, okay. So appreciate you praying for Jill. Anything else or any other updates? Okay. All right, so we can take Joey Fox off. Since you guys know who Elizabeth Fitch is, have you heard any more about her?
Her tumors are shrinking or staying the same. They're not doing any testing until August, and they're hopeful that this continued treatment that she's on will actually get rid of the tumors that she has. So
this is her second bout of cancer, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Because she had it, what, about 3 or 4 years ago?
Yes.
Or maybe it wasn't even that long ago.
No, they found out she fell and broke her hand or wrist, and again, forced to do all these tests, found the tumors. But then it was, I want to say, in her liver. These are in her lungs, so it has moved, but she's responding well to her treatment.
Okay, good. So that's Elizabeth Fitch. She used to, her husband's a principal at Emanuel, and she was music and all kind of things over there at Emanuel. So that's glad that the cancer is clearing up for her. All right. I don't have any other updates on anyone on our prayer list as far as a physical goes. So if you guys don't have any updates, then anyone new that you'd like to add? Anyone new? Okay. All right. Well, we will not do that. Now, I would just mention a lot of folks are out of town, obviously, since tomorrow's 4th of July. So just pray for people. And sometimes you just consider, maybe we shouldn't have service because there'll be so few people here. And, this is one of those nights that, kind of a toying cost. Should we do it or should we not? But keep praying for those who are out of town right now. And before we read the missionary letter, just look on the back at the different things coming up for this weekend. We got the men's prayer meeting this Saturday at 9, and then, of course, this Sunday, of course, regular services in the morning, and then on Sunday afternoon at 5, we're going to start off with a service, and Brother Ferris will be in town, and he's going to preach, concerning the time of year, Independence Day, and that's one of the things he does. It's one of the things he majors in, especially for veterans. A lot of churches bring him in for veterans services. And then last week he was in Virginia preaching like an Independence Day service. So he's going to do that here Sunday night at 5. I can't contain myself to 30 minutes, but he promised me he can. So I'm going to have him preach. And then afterwards, of course, all the regular things, hot dogs, hamburgers, maybe some chicken, all the side trimmings with those things. And then we're hopefully going to start a volleyball tournament that's going to go through the entire month on Sunday afternoons after the services during the month of July. So if you're into that kind of thing, or we always put up horseshoes, badminton, all kind of things. So those things are available as well. So a lot of things going on through the month of July. The one thing I'm really looking forward to is on Sunday, July 28th, A.B. Childs will be with us. And so we'll get a report about his ministry and looking forward to that. So, in fact, the newsletter tonight is from him. And so, again, I'll be careful what I say on live stream, but you'll notice there just really more of an update on the RV that they're trying to purchase. Says, we wanted to give you an update concerning our prayer request for purchasing a new RV. First, please let us express how personally touched we have been by everyone, both churches and individuals, who have given towards this need. We cannot even begin to express our gratitude and thanks toward you. Thank you for being fellow helpers to the truth. We are very excited to currently be at 71% and would ask you to prayerfully consider donating to this need. So, the church, we helped them with $1,000 toward this. And it's a little thank you note down on the bottom, in the bottom foyer from them. It says, we have also been informed that our apartment in Beijing will be rebuilt. This is truly a blessing from the Lord. While our apartment is being rebuilt. We would ask you for prayers as we travel around the United States in order to replace support from originally supporting churches that were negatively impacted by the pandemic. We know that the Lord is able to supply all our need, and we are trusting in Him. And then it says below, we would sincerely like to thank everyone for praying for Barbara's father, who was diagnosed with colon cancer. He is currently undergoing chemotherapy treatments, and we are continuing to pray that he will not need to have surgery. But we are thankful that he is in very little pain, and so far he is handling the treatments very well. Thank you so much for your continued prayers as we go through this trial. So I know when they left the field, she had gone back to Ireland to be with him. So he's had it at least a year with that. And as far as I know, I'm assuming that, you know, when he left, he tore the MCL in one of the knees. He broke ribs. I'm imagining he's healed up by now with those things. So you see the prayer request over there, and just ask you to continue to pray for them. He's an aggressive missionary. We have several aggressive missionaries. I mean, they're go-getters. They get a lot done. And he's another one. I think eight churches there. Eight churches that they're looking forward to getting back to. And that's a big deal that, you know, they were able to get, I guess, approval from that government to return. So just pray that God will continue to open doors for them. But I'm excited to have them here. He's a super interesting man, you know, his story. And I had a chance one time after we started supporting him. They were still going 6 months there, 6 months in the States, because they still had a big ministry to the, like, University of Florida, WVU, where they were ministering to Oriental students. So they'd spend 6 months here and overseas. So he had come in one time, and I think we went up to Bob Evans. We just sat there and talked for a long time. He's telling me these horrific events that were happening to him over there, and it's like, wow. You know, but, and he still has those kind of things happen to him, but it doesn't stop him. I mean, he goes right on for the Lord. He's truly an amazing man. So praise the Lord for that. Last night, I had a chance to speak for what's called Liberty Week up here in Bridgeport. And I'm just going to set aside our study in Acts tonight, because, I mean, I'm ready to go with that. I have all my notes for that tonight. But I, you know, I'm like you. I'm patriotic. I look forward to tomorrow. I'm big into playing patriotic music. I like fireworks. Debbie can't do those things anymore because of her nerves from her disease, but I like those kind of things. I love my country, and despite the mess we're in, I still love my country. And I would expect, if you're from France, you love your country. And if you're from England, you love your country. And if you're from Germany, you love your country. If you're from Poland, I don't know. I just don't tell D. Watson I said that. But anyway, so I'm going to share with you what I shared last night with the people there, since we're on the eve of our 248th anniversary. So back on March 23rd, 1775, this gentleman stood before the General Assembly in Richmond, Virginia. His name was Patrick Henry. And he spoke those words that really have rung true in the hearts of Americans for 248 years now, as of tomorrow morning, 248 years. And you know the line, give me liberty or give me death. We all know those words. And even for people of the younger generations, Generation Z or whatever it is now, it's hard to keep up with all the different generations. Most people know that line. They may not know who said it. They may not know why he said it, but they know that line, give me liberty or give me death. Well, some 2,000 years ago, in his hometown of Nazareth, in his childhood synagogue, Jesus Christ stood up and made this statement that has rung true in the hearts of Christians for the last two millennia. And it's found in Luke chapter 4. And I want you to turn there with me. Luke chapter 4, and look at verse 18. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, in this last line, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Those are famous words of Jesus. Famous words of Jesus, just like Patrick Henry's words were famous. For me, 47 years ago, it'll be 48 years this coming October, I was set at liberty. That's why I told those folks last night, God set me at liberty 47 and a half years ago. Jesus changed me that day. He changed me that Sunday morning. So I sat up in the balcony and I heard, I don't even remember the evangelist's name that spoke at our church that day, but I just remember conviction falling on me. As I told those folks, you know, growing up on a dairy farm, you are shielded from a lot of things that a lot of young people run into, that we were not afforded a chance to run into those things. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week proposition on a dairy farm, so there was very limited things that we were even allowed to be part of. My brother was a tremendous athlete, far superior to me. He had skills, and he probably could have done very well. But in fact, I won't go into all that. He just was a really good athlete, but my parents told him, nope, you got chores. You got to get up at 4:30 every morning, milk cows before you go to school. No, you cannot play sports. So that was just a life. Now, I look back at that, and I'm grateful for it, because while my parents were opposed to drinking, smoking, drugs, cursing, all those things, I never had a chance to do those things. I mean, literally. There was no opportunity. I didn't get to really go out with my friends a lot, those kind of things. Went to church visitation, where our parents allowed us to do that on Tuesday night. We were, even though we were milking cows every day, my dad still made time for Wednesday night church. I don't know how he did it. Sunday morning, Sunday night, he made time for church despite milking cows twice a day on Sundays. He still made time and made sure all the family was in church. But, you know, other than that, there wasn't a lot of things that we did outside of church or outside the home. So I'd have to struggle with those things. I didn't struggle with those kind of things. But despite what people would say, you know, I kept my nose clean. I didn't get involved in those kind of things. We weren't allowed to go to movies. We weren't allowed to do any of those things. But rock music was hated, and I actually still hate rock music. Those things were never an issue. So I'm a pretty good kid. I go to church 3 times a week, and the people in our church taught me to carry my Bible to the public school. I went to Massillon Jackson Memorial High School, a very, very big high school in Ohio, Northeast Ohio. And every day I went to high school, I had my Bible on top of all my other books. I was a good kid. I was a religious kid. I had heard the gospel all my life, good churches. You know, I've told you about it many times. But that day, as that man preached, I fell under conviction. I fell under conviction about my sin. No, I did not drink. I did not smoke. I did not curse, except for one time. I was out in the barnyard, and we were bringing cows in the milking parlor. It's stupid, but it's true. I thought, I wonder what it'd feel like to curse. And so, with a bunch of Jersey cows around me, I stood in the barnyard, and I just, and I thought, well, there's nobody here, just these cows. They don't care. And then I heard my brother's voice, Jeff. and I like froze. I was like, oh man, I'm dead. He's gonna go tell my dad and my mom I'm in big trouble. And I turned around. I know my eyes were about that big. And apparently he did not hear me, but I didn't know he did not hear me. So you have this dread, you know, for the next 2 years, like he's gonna spill the beans on me. But we just didn't do those kind of things. So I thought I was a pretty good kid because of all this. But you don't have to curse or smoke or drink or do drugs or look at pornography to be a sinner. You know, there were times where I was disobedient. There was times I was disrespectful. There were times that I was unkind. There were times that I lied. I knew it. And God convicted me of my sin that morning. I told the folks last night, it's almost as though God walked back from that pulpit all the way back to that auditorium, up the stairs into that balcony, found me in the back and just started tapping at my heart. You're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. And that morning, I couldn't get away from it. And when they finally gave the invitation, I remember one of the men on staff, his name was Jim, and he had kind of taken me under his wings and mentored me a little bit. And I made a beeline for him and said, I got to talk to you now. And so we left the auditorium, went into a little classroom. Make a long story short, I got on my knees that morning, and I, best I knew how, I turned from my sin, and I asked Christ to come into my life and cleanse me and forgive me and wash me in his blood, be my Savior. He made a difference in me. He set me at liberty that morning, and it's really, truly the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. God set me at liberty, and I appreciate the spiritual liberty that I have, and I know you guys do too. You love the spiritual liberty that you have been given. I'm also an American. And you and I, as Americans, we love our liberty, do we not? We love being free. We love having that liberty. And quite frankly, I can't imagine living anywhere else. I mean, I'm not opposed to a Frenchman loving France. I'm not opposed to a German loving Germany. I'm not opposed to those things, and I'm glad for them, but there's something special about this country. There is. There's something special about this country. We love the freedoms that are afforded to us. I told our folks what we do when this week comes, how, you know, in the past we used to show like a film from David Barton, you know, concerning the history of our country, our founding fathers, you know, wall builders, the films that they put out. Or we always address, you know, issues in our country during this time of year. We'll do it again Sunday night. You remember, I don't know how many years ago it was that I gave out constitutions. You remember that? And I taught through the Constitution. You remember that? Of course, attached with the Constitution is the Bill of Rights. And in the Bill of Rights, we're told of the freedoms that we have. And I mentioned to the folks last night, I think everybody needs at least to be familiar with the Constitution and needs to be familiar with the Bill of Rights. So I happened to hear a commentator on the news today or on the radio today for a few minutes. And he said, tomorrow I'm going to sit down with my family and I'm going to read to them the Constitution. And he said, I know what they're going to do. They're going to say, oh, we don't want to hear this. He said, I'm going to make them sit there, my children, my grandchildren, and I'm going to read them the Constitution. And I thought, that's probably a good idea. Because even when I went to school in the 60s and 70s, I do not remember being taught the Constitution. Did any of you guys ever get taught the Constitution? I don't ever remember that. A little bit? No, I don't think we ever did. And why do people not know what we are or what we have? Because they don't know it. No one's ever taught it to them. So just a reminder about the freedoms that we've been afforded. Not going to go through all 27 amendments, but just some of these that we obviously would highlight. The First Amendment. It begins this way. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, there's not many of us here tonight, but ain't nobody stopping me. Nobody stopped you from coming here. I told them the story about in China, a Chinese pastor that took a Christian name. He took the first name Samuel and he took the last name Lamb, I guess, in honor of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. A man who loves Jesus and had started house churches, and he was caught by government officials and ordered to stop. And the trick over there is you just move locations. If you get tipped off that authorities are going to show up at your location, you just go to another location. Well, he had done that, but they still found out. And after one particular Lord's Day, officials were standing outside of this house, and they waited until everybody was dismissed. And then they accosted him and his family and put a pistol to his 15-year-old daughter's head and said, you will stop. This will be the last time. He said, I cannot deny Jesus Christ. And they blew her brains out in front of his wife and him. And I don't have those fears. I don't have a fear that if I preach the gospel, I might get arrested. David Lin, you know the name, David Lin? He is a Chinese-American citizen who went back to China with the intent of giving the gospel. He was arrested. He's been in prison in China for 7 years now. And he's maintained a strong witness, I guess, even in the prison. And I guess I read, just it's kind of weird because I've been praying for him, and I saw an article about him and read it, and I guess they have increased his persecution, and he is in ill health, and he is allowed at times to have some kind of communication. I don't know if through the State Department, but they said, you need to get me out of here now. I can no longer endure this. So I have no idea what kind of problems he goes through. But I'm not worried about someone hauling me off to a prison tonight. I have freedom of religion. And in that First Amendment, it talks about freedom of speech. I literally can say just about anything I want. I mean, I can go over a live stream and say just about anything I want. I can say anything I want about the President of the United States. I can say anything I want about our senators or our representatives. It's not always right that we do those things, but we do have the freedom to do that. We do have the freedom to assemble. We're assembling right now. And last night in the city park, we assembled. You know, there's a girls' softball game going down here, and there's people walking around the park, and we're right in the middle in a pavilion having a church service on a Tuesday night. It was actually kind of cool. You know, it's like, where else could you do this? I mean, how many other countries could you do that? We have freedoms. Second Amendment. The right to keep and bear arms. And I told those folks, because none of them are associated with us, I said, I can just tell you right now, you never want to come to Grace Baptist with ill intent. I said, because we are armed to the gills. Don't ever do that. And I told them about the Men for Missions activity we had here. Probably about 10 years ago, that's when we had, you know, the guys with in the narcotics unit, and they had Uzi, Thompson submachine gun, an M16, an AK-47, and I can't remember what else. But remember, everybody opened up like at one time, and the neighbor called the whatever law enforcement was, Bridgeport or the sheriff's department, and they said, we're already warned, just go ahead and have your fun, you know. So, I mean, nobody wants to come here and mess around because they'll get their head blown off if they did. But so if you're watching tonight and there's ill intent in your heart, don't try it here. When we were in Mexico City a few months ago, Enoch told us, they said, if you even have a bullet on your person, you'll go to prison basically for life. For just, not a gun, a bullet. If they catch you with a bullet, you will go to prison, and probably for the rest of your life. We don't have those kind of issues here. I just skipped to the last one in the 15th Amendment. It talks about the right as a citizen of the United States to vote. So I told him last night, when November 5th rolls around, I will vote. I will exercise my right. And I find that interesting. It says in the Constitution, as an American citizen. That does not include those who are immigrants illegally. So I will vote. Now, if you're like me, sometimes you don't necessarily like your choices, but at least I have a chance to vote and in that sense make a difference. And I've had Christians tell me, I'm not voting. I will not vote. Why? Because God has already ordained who's going to be in office, and it doesn't matter if I vote or not, God's going to put them in that office. I don't really agree with that. I don't really believe that. And I think there are responsibilities I have as a Christian, and I think there are responsibilities I have as an American. And if I don't take the responsibilities, then I'll lose my rights. And there's a better chance of not losing my rights that liberty has afforded me if I do what I can to stand up for them. So I made the point last night, look, we have liberty that has afforded us all these wonderful rights that we are enjoying right at this very minute. At this very minute, we are enjoying the rights of our liberty as American citizens. But liberty can be abused. That's what we're seeing now. One liberty is abused by many times our leaders, the people that are in authority who are supposed to be upholding our rights as American citizens. They are abusing it. I mean, that's what we're watching in Washington right now. We're watching. I don't care if they have the moniker Democrat or Republican or independent. Most of those people are not upholding the rights for our citizens. And whether their intent is to take away our freedom or whether they are just being lazy. And they don't know this. We're in huge trouble. I mean, Harold, you went, John, you went with us, you know, Capital Connection. We go in there and talk to all these senators and representatives, and you know, I'm glad we did it, but on the same hand, I wonder if it made any real impression or not. I will not name our senator, but there is a picture of him standing with a representative for pro-life. Holding up a pro-life sign. I saw a second picture with him and another individual holding up a pro-abortion sign. He's all things to all men. And I think that's the way most politicians are. And so a lot of times liberty is abused by those who are in power, but liberty can also be abused by the citizens who possess it. And that's all I am. I'm just a citizen. I'm not a mayor. I'm not part of the city council. By the way, I'm not opposed to that at all. The pastor I work for, Nolan Jackson, his son Neil, the pastor's a large ministry in North Carolina, and they were challenged to run for political office. He ran and he won. And you know what? We need godly men in office. So I'm not opposed to it. I'm not opposed to it. I don't think I could win. That's one reason I would never run. I mean, I got a face for radio and that kind of thing. I challenged people last night. I just challenged myself again tonight, you tonight. What am I personally doing to defending liberty? What am I personally doing? And it bothers me when somebody, a Christian, says, I'm not voting because it won't make a difference, or I'm not voting because we're preordained to have these leaders. Well, maybe when we get to heaven, we find out everything was preordained in that sense. But until I'm clear on that, I'm not taking the risk. I think we ought to vote. I also think that there are things that we can do to make sure that we defend our liberty. Things like this. Encouraging leadership at times. Encourage them to write actions. So I thought about this. When's the last time I wrote Joe Manchin? When's the last time I wrote Shelley Moore Capito or Alex Mooney? When's the last time I appealed to them? And by the way, I don't care what the issue is. Even a dreaded issue like abortion, I don't think we ever need to be mean-spirited when we write to them or speak to them, but we ought to make clear where we stand as Christians. We ought to make clear. The ACLJ, most of you are familiar with that, American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow. You know, he was a lawyer for President Trump in his term. That's a Christian-based organization. I mean, they go before the Supreme Court, and they've won a lot of big cases that benefit us. And so I get on my emails, any of you get like ACLJ on your email. So I get ACLJ and I get Liberty Council with Matt Staver. And a lot of times they will have places where you can go online there through the email and then sign a petition, whatever the cause is. And it's like, it takes me all of 25, 30 seconds to fill out that. Put my name down, put my, you know, email address, and now it's all automatic. You know, you start to press your name and everything flashes up. It's all 5 seconds down. You just press send. And I just hopefully have made a difference as that petition is sent to different officials, wherever it is, whatever the cause is. And it doesn't take much time. But a lot of times we don't even get around to doing that. We don't defend. We don't defend the liberty that God has given to us. And so, you know, we get what we deserve. I hate to put it that way, but the reality is sometimes I do get what I deserve because I'm not willing to stand. But then there's a third thought about the abuse of our liberty. Liberty can be abused when I, as a Christian, not as an American, but as a Christian, refuse to honor Christ. I don't think we're a Christian nation today. Yeah, we're a secular nation. 1892, the Supreme Court case, Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States. The justice who wrote the opinion was named David J. Brewer. And he wrote an opinion, and it is still controversial to this day. In it, he said, quote, "America is a Christian nation." That's what he said. I don't know that it was really controversial then, but since the probably mid-1900s and on, that has been debated. No, that's really not what he meant, and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, well, 1892, I think he did mean exactly what he said. This is a Christian nation. And I don't think many people back in 1892 would have argued the point. As a progressive movement, I just listened to a special about the progressive movement in the American education system, Dewey and some of those other big names in the American. You know where they went to get some of their ideas for education? The Soviet Union. Yeah, they did. They wanted to mimic the education system of the Soviet Union. They said they were superior to us. And so they brought that trash into our public schools. And we wonder sometimes, you know, why we're in the mess we're in. That's part of the reason. Brought it into a lot more than just our public education. I agree with you, Amy. I don't think we're a Christian nation anymore. I think we're a secular nation, far from being Christian. But I don't help when I don't stand up for Christ. I threw out some statistics last night. The Pew Research Center state, this is a current 2024 statistic. 64% of Americans identify as Christians. That's down 10% from just a decade ago. A decade ago, 74% said they were Christians. Today, 64%, they said we are on a trend to be below 50% in another two decades. That the majority of the people in this country will not be Christians. That's alarming. It's alarming for us. Because if the Lord tarries, we will be a minority. And you know what happens? You know, we always hear the plight of the minority. Well, we're well on the way. And this is alarming too. 84% of American churches have either plateaued or are in decline. 84% have either plateaued and no longer grow or are in decline. And that's, you know, that's again, you know, as we gather to pray on Friday mornings, that's one of the things that is in pastors' minds. It's like, this church doesn't have a pastor, and that church doesn't have a pastor, and that church doesn't have a pastor, and this church doesn't have any, and church is closing down. I mean, it's like rampant in our country. Gallup poll, you're all familiar with that. They were talking about people who attend services on a regular basis. And when we say services on a regular basis, regular church attenders, you have to attend two times a month. Maybe a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night. Just two times a month, and you are considered a regular attender. Man, I remember when they used to give out the Sunday school pins? And it was a big deal to be faithful to every service. You know, every Sunday morning you were there in Sunday school. And we had people at Canton, not to me, it would have been embarrassing to do this, but the Baptist Temple gave out those pins. And we had people that had, you know, hooked pins for several years, like down their chest. And it was like, you know, well, that's why I never did it. But now they think if I get there on a Sunday morning a couple times a month, yeah, I'm a regular attender. That is the definition now. This is even worse. This is talking about American adults. 20 years ago, those who attended regularly was 42% of American adults. Now, that's terrible. Today, 30%. 7 out of 10 adults do not attend on a regular basis. Maybe they go, you know, to a Christmas show. You know, hey, Jewel City is having this big Christmas thing with 5 camels. Let's go. Okay, I'll go. You know. But only 30%. That's terrible. Those who identify as atheist, agnostic, and now they have a category called nothing in particular. You can be atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular. Those numbers are substantially increasing across the United States. That's where we're at today. Now, why is that? Because I, as a Christian, often do not take a stand. I just let things slide. I don't take a stand against the things that are wrong. I just let it slide. Well, it's just their opinion. It's what they want to do. Let them do it. And no real effort to take a stand for what's right. So, listen, liberty can be abused. And it is being abused. But I don't have to let it be abused. I don't have to let that continue. If I've been guilty of that, I do not have to let it continue in my life. How many know the name Peter Marshall? You know the name Peter Marshall. I didn't know this until I was reading up about him a little bit yesterday. He actually pastored his first church in Covington, Georgia, and that's where my wife and I bought our very first home, was in Covington. It's about 35 miles east of Atlanta. You remember the television series In the Heat of the Night with Carol O'Connor? That's Covington, Georgia, not Sparta, Mississippi. That's Covington, Georgia. It is a gorgeous town, and we lived there. And that's where he pastored his first church, a little Presbyterian church, and then he moved downtown Atlanta to the Presbyterian church, and then eventually pastored the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. Have you ever watched his movie? There's a movie. It's called A Man Named Peter. Go home. I'm serious. Get on YouTube and just punch it in, and it'll play. And it is a great movie. His wife, Catherine, had, after he passed away at 49 with a heart attack, but she had his life story written, or she wrote it, and then they put it into movie form. I mean, it's straight. I mean, they show clips of him preaching, and the actor, whoever he was, is actually quoting, like, verbatim his messages. He's standing there at Georgia Tech University, or Georgia Institute of Technology, to be correct, and all these students are laughing at him. And he's a powerful preacher, and as he's preaching, you just see the students quit mocking and quit laughing. And man, the man won people to Jesus. He was straight shooter, good gospel preacher, and his testimony of getting saved is an amazing testimony. As a boy in Scotland, his salvation, his conversion experience was really wonderful. Well, he eventually makes his way to Washington and became the chaplain of the United States Senate. He almost foretold of men going to war. In fact, he was speaking, I think, it was to the Naval Academy or something that morning when Pearl Harbor was bombed. But it was like he's preaching and he is preparing these young men to go into battle. And like he had no idea what was going to happen. I guess there was a climate that we could go to war, so I don't want to make it like he's like Elijah the prophet, but God just used the man. He made this statement. I made that a really long way to get to this. Here's the statement that Peter Marshall made. May we think of freedom not as the right to do as we please, but as an opportunity to do what is right. That's good. May we think of freedom not as the right to do as we please, but as an opportunity to do what is right. And if that is my mindset and all of our mindset, that's going to change things. It really can. We won't abuse liberty. I mean, everybody else may. I don't know that the ship can be turned now. I really don't. I'm just being honest with you. But I don't have to be like everybody else. I don't have to be like everybody else. I have liberty as an American, and I've been afforded rights, but I must not abuse the liberty lest I lose it. At the same time, I have liberty as a Christian, and I've been afforded privileges, but I must not abuse the liberty that I have lest I cause other people to fall. And that's the warning that Paul especially gives in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 8:9. Take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. And I'm so tired of this junk about I have liberty in Christ, I can do what I want. And it's just an excuse. And it's the one passage, I think it's actually Peter who says it, that we use our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. You know, we hide behind the cloak of Christian liberty and do wickedness. I heard a report of a pastor here in the state of West Virginia, an evangelical minister who just got busted for DUI. In his church, he says you can drink. You can social drink. It's okay. It's not a sin. So they suspended him for 2 weeks. You know. You don't think people mock that? Well, here's this Christian. I thought Christians were different. I know Christians fail. I fail sometimes. But, I mean, goodness. The things we promote sometimes as Christians. I mean, there's a reason why the younger generation is struggling with Christianity. Because many times they see in me something that doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up. I sure hope I haven't caused people to stumble. Galatians 5:13 puts it this way, "Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So as a Christian and as an American, I gotta reinforce in my own heart and mind not to abuse the liberty that God has given to me. There's a responsibility with the gift called liberty. It's not just enjoying it. And you know what? My family plans to enjoy tomorrow. I'm not going to work tomorrow. As a pastor, I can take any day off I choose. So tomorrow, I'm going to take the day off, and we'll all get together, and we'll have a cookout, and we'll try to play games, and just enjoy the day. And I want you to enjoy it. I hope you don't have any bodies come in tomorrow. Nobody dies. We're putting a ban on that for 24 hours, and just enjoy the day. Just enjoy the day. There's nothing wrong with enjoying it, but that doesn't take away my responsibility. So last night when I finished the message, I just quoted 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. There's a responsibility in me to turn from my wicked ways. There's a responsibility in me to seek his face. God says, if you want any hope at all, it can only come with that. It only comes with that. So I'm not in a position tonight to go to Washington, D.C. and get our country back to a constitutional republic. I'm so sick. This sounds terrible. I'm so sick of the word democracy. I am. We're a constitutional republic, or at least a democratic republic. We're not a democracy. That's what the Chinese call themselves. I don't want to be like China. We need to open to our responsibility and get back to being responsible for this privilege that God has given to us as an American and as a Christian as well. I mean, we got double liberty. You know that? I got liberty here, and I got liberty in Christ. And that's a good gig. And we need to make sure that we owe up to the responsibility we have. So that's what I preached last night. I thought, I might have to just do that again and erase all the mistakes I made last night. and try to do it right this time. But anyway, so. All right. I'm glad you came tonight, and I hope you guys have a really good day tomorrow. We do have a blessed country. So praise the Lord for it. Well, we'll have a word of prayer. If you want to stay and pray a little bit, you're welcome to. Or if you need to leave, that's okay too. Brother Electric, would you close us, please?
Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for the wonderful country that you have given us.
Yes.
Just to enjoy and be blessed. And Lord, if it wasn't for this place, God, I would never have heard the wonderful story.
Yes, that's right.
Lord, Gospel of Jesus Christ, and none of us, Lord, would have heard it. We thank you for the liberty and the privilege that we have to hear these things. And thank you, Lord, for what we heard tonight, God. We thank you for your word, and how it always speaks to us in such a wonderful way, because it is you, Lord. I pray, God, that you would, as the preacher said, Lord, help us. Lord, we know we have liberty, but it's not to just do what we want. It's not to do our own thing, to please ourselves. But God, it's to please you and to have fellowship with you and to be a blessing to others.
Yes, God.
So, Lord, help us to do that. Lord, help us to be a blessing to others and to share the gospel, Lord, that you have so wonderfully given to us. Bless our evening tonight as we pray as we go home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.